it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Fueled by Temperance Spirits, Edmonton's leading non-alcoholic beverage provider. Order online for doorstep delivery.
Oilers fans, this holiday season, there is a lot to celebrate. And Temperance Spirits has you covered, curating the best non-alcoholic beverages to keep the party going into the new year. As a small Edmonton-based business, Temperance is rooted in community and bringing people together. Available online, enjoy fast local delivery to your doorstep in the greater Edmonton area.
Whether you're hosting this year's holiday party or looking for the perfect gift, Temperance Spirits is your go-to source for celebrating without the buzz. To make your holidays brighter, order your favorite non-alc drinks at www.temperance-spirits.com and score a festive 15% off with the discount code SDPN.
This season, let the Temperance Spirits online store be your secret to scoring a merry and festive celebration. You can stay connected with them at Temperance Spirits on Instagram and Facebook. Oilers fans, Oilers win the last game of 2023. Thank you so much for being here, guys. It's the New Year's Eve game. I can't believe it. Look, you start this game and it felt like it was going to be one of those trap games, right? The Ducks, terrible team. I see a lot of familiar names in chat. MGD, welcome back. Travis, when I was getting ready for this game, man, Bob Stauffer, Big Daddy Bob Stauffer, was talking on the pregame show. This just felt like a trap game. The Ducks, man, they're bad, but the Oilers, they come off of a win out of LA. It's a difficult one. McNader in chat, good to see you again. And it's one of those games where maybe the Oilers will lose against a team that they should win against. But this Edmonton Oilers team is not that guy. This Edmonton Oilers team came in and thrashed Anaheim in every metric on the scoreboard, physically, shots on net, just crushed them. Pickard outdueled Gibson. How many times are you going to hear that in a year? It was an unbelievable night, led by the second line of Leon Draisaitl, Ryan McLeod, and the most important player on that line, Warren Fogle. A 5-point night from Warren Fogle. This has to be a career year coming up for him. Does anyone believe that we lost the Fogle for Bear trade? Now, it is so unbelievable to see what Warren Fogle is doing, and it's a contract year for him. If I'm Edmonton, I'm trying to sign him to a one-year deal every single year, right? Warren, this is what you need, the pressure in order to make it work for you on the score sheet. Half the time, you look at Warren Fogle, and that 37, it's been morphing into a 97. And there's some things to think about here. That McLeod-Fogle connection has been there for a little while, but when you bring Draisaitl into the mix, oh my god, they are just so dominant, to quote Zach, like Ridiculous Nico said. Guys, it is amazing. I just wanted to stop for a quick moment. It is the New Year's Eve game. It is 8:43 in Oil Country, and we got 20 people already. I just started. Thank you all for being here, first and foremost. We get to celebrate a big Oilers win. And we'll get to the Zegras stuff, MGD. We're going to get to some of the pissiness from this Ducks team. But McLeod starts everything off. 4 minutes into the game, Ryan McLeod has just this weird thing where he's been on a tear and he's scoring goals so early. I think ever since he played against his brother, he has been on fire, a man on fire. Warren Fogle already gets one assist off that first one. I mean, yes, it gets tied up pretty soon afterwards. And who else but Max Jones, right? Of course, it's going to be Max Jones. This is fourth goal of the year for Jones. And three of those four have been on the Oilers. There's some guys that just do it to the Oilers, right? But move on from that, because Evander Kane just gift wrapped a goal. Sometimes you need bounces to go like that. Evander Kane just tucks it in. And from that point on, I feel like the Ducks just deflated. The entire arena, and this is it's a chirp on a team that's rebuilding. The Oilers were there for a long time. I feel you, Ducks fans. And as an aside, you got a great jersey. That Anaheim jersey looks so, so sharp. The colors are great. I think it's their 30th anniversary thing. I feel like you should run with that, Ducks fans. If that's your petition for 2024, keep that jersey going. The only thing that I kind of want to chirp is the logo in the middle with the green text or the green circle around it and the white text. It's very Starbucksy. That's the only thing I would maybe tweak, but keep the logo with the duck head, throwback colors. It's amazing. Your arena is so bad. The entire crowd was gone out of it after the first period. Again, Oilers fans, we've gone through that, but we never give up, right? You will see Oilers fans are so passionate, but if they're not shouting for their team to win, they're letting them know, like, hey, we don't appreciate it. We're giving our own team the business. It is never quiet in Edmonton. Anyway, back to the game. That first period, Pickard, we have to give credit where credit is due, because there were a couple of really, really good chances. And with Stu delivering the goods yesterday against the Kings, Pickard had to come in. I mean, this is the game that you would give him, but he had to make quite a few good saves in order to make it work out. Now, this game got chippy right from the get-go, which is weird, in my opinion. The Kulak penalty, where he kind of rode Johnston into the boards, it feels like an accident to me, right? I'm not Johnston, but I see him buckle a little bit before Kulak has to just push him into the boards, because he's moving at that time. I don't know why he's so mad. Like, he came out and he was beefing with Vinny. Like, Desharnais, he's been amazing tonight too. The defense core has been great. Cody Ceci was passable. Everyone else was great tonight. Lyubushkin at the end of the period got like a 4 minute minor. Janmark got punched in the face and somehow got a 4 minute minor. This got so chippy so fast, and I don't understand why, but it's such an entertaining game, right? If you are an Oilers fan, you are watching this game going, we're beating you down on the score sheet and we're beating you down into the ice. Later on in the game, the Viking fight, Ekholm, he got spun around a couple times, but he absolutely went toe-to-toe with Strome. As soon as he turned around, he one-punched the guy. He was pulling out his Saitama. I don't know, man. His beard is big, but if he showed up with a bald head and started one-punching guys, I wouldn't be against it. Gudas, he didn't want the smoke either. Like, so many guys on the Ducks were chirping the Oilers, but they were not willing to back it up. We'll get to Zegras. Absolutely chicken shit move, Zegras. Late in the game, it's like 7-2 at that point. You're gonna spear McLeod when his back's towards you, and when he has to face the music, when McLeod turns around, you're gonna You're not even going to turtle like Chuck. You're just going to absolutely sit back and go, oh, it's not me. I didn't do anything. Well deserved for Draisaitl. Get in there. Take a guy. If you're up 7-2 at that point, Draisaitl, you can take a couple penalty minutes. He brings Zegras with him to the box. The end of this game was wild. Like, I have to say, Matthias Janmark might be the most unlucky guy today. Because like I said, he got punched in the face and ended up getting a 4-minute minor. Late in the game, he gets in an unsportsmanlike when Gudas cross-checked him twice. And he turns around and goes to the ref like, hey, you're watching this, right? And he gets 2 minutes for an unsportsmanlike and then 10 for the game. Matthias Janmark. I'm hoping he just sat in the room and got the champagne ready for the boys, because this was a night when everyone was doing so well. Like, Draisaitl, Fogel, and Ryan McLeod were amazing. They drove play the entire night. And that first line as well, even though they only got in the score sheet like once on the Zach Hyman goal, they were buzzing. There's a reason why the McDavid, Nugent, Hyman line is the best line in the NHL right now. They were not willing to give... The Oilers were not willing to ease up on the Ducks at all tonight. And you can see the Ducks, they got some guys that probably don't want to be there. There are some guys that are in their like 30s now. I'm thinking Adam Henrik, I'm thinking Alex Killorn, I'm thinking Jakob Silfverberg, one of my favorite players. And these are guys, Sam Carrick was another name that was floated out there. These are guys that are in their 30s. They want to play hockey on a team that matters. And there's a couple guys that maybe the Oilers even want to look into. Another great player. Oh. Darnell Nurse contributed so much tonight. I mean, not only was he pretty locked in defensively, he stopped two-on-ones and such, but the pass, oh my goodness, the pass to Draisaitl, impeccable. Like, Fogel drew all the attention on that play. He took all the guys with him for some reason, and the Ducks forgot about Dry. But Nurse found him down by the goal line, and he, you know, he's going to bury that one-timer. The other Nurse goal, or the other Nurse assist with the slap pass onto Fogel. Oh, amazing stuff. That got Connor Brown his third point. And you know what? If I'm Connor Brown, like, the last little bit has been a little bit better. I'm going to hope I take more shots. I'm going to hope one of those trickles in. And you never know. Goals come in bunches for these guys sometimes. And Brown and Ernie, McInnater has a great point. They had a 2-on-1. Amazing, amazing chance. They just don't have the finish right now. If I'm Connor Brown, shoot the puck more. Just make as many take as many chances as you can and hope that when those gates open, the floodgates just come crashing in. Travis McInnater, MGD, lots of activity. I'm going to be honest. I was ready for this to be a little bit more of a chill vibe session, but now that you guys are here, I feel like I have to put on a good show. So hopefully you guys like the show. If you are listening into this live, maybe on New Year's Day, if you like the show, give us a like, subscribe to the SDPN. We're getting really, really close to 100,000 subscribers. I'm hoping that we can get there in 2024. Then again, let's focus back on this game, because there's only a little bit left to go. Frank Vatrano he's having a great year. Frank Vatrano, 17 goals already, and it's going to be a career year for him. If he's willing to leave Anaheim, there's another chance here in Edmonton. You know, we're always in need for extra wingers. But to finish off the game, Zach Hyman, Brett Kulak, amazing stuff. 7-2 victory to close 2023. So where does this leave us? Well, the Edmonton Oilers are now 18-15-1. They are riding a 5-game winning streak into 2024. And I'm looking at the schedule. There's a couple of chances here. So the Oilers right now, they end 2023 one spot out of the wild card spot. Now, Arizona has a 3-point gap, but there is one game in hand. So the Edmonton Oilers have a pretty good shot. Now, the big fear is if they don't make it into the Pacific, you're going to be playing someone either like a Vegas or Vancouver. There's some chances there, right? You might run into some tough teams, but the way that this Oilers team is playing right now, I feel like October was that one month. The Oilers always have one month where it's a write-off. This October was the write-off, and we're all panicking, but now the Edmonton Oilers are rolling, and it doesn't seem like anyone is off their game. Is there a couple of upgrades I'd like to see? Let's look into 2024. Is there a couple of upgrades I'd like to see by the trade deadline? Yeah, that's true. I mean, the biggest one, and tonight was not spectacular by any means either, is Cody Ceci. Like, he is still getting a little bit flooded, right? He's playing a lot of minutes with Nurse, and Nurse is amazing this year. He's been so stable. He's been so steady. There has been offensive chip-ins from Nurse. Defensively, he's been solid. Cody Ceci is just absolutely treading water. If you can upgrade that, maybe Ceci has to come out. If you do decide to make that move for a bona fide top pairing defenseman, or at least a top four defenseman that isn't going to be, you know, pressured in as much, then that's another improvement that you can do. Offensively, there's still a couple of questions. Now that Ryan McLeod has moved in and found a home with Leon Draisaitl, your third line center is Derek Ryan, and I love Derek Ryan. If you watch the show a lot, I have nothing bad to say about the guy. He's always getting crushed into the boards. He always has to sit a little bit extra each game because he's getting crumpled into the boards, but he generates so many opportunities. You just don't really want him in your third line center role. You kind of want him on the wing or the fourth line. I'd be so much more comfortable if that was the spot for Derek Ryan. So if Ryan McLeod is permanently now stapled to the wing of Leon Draisaitl, you have to fill the third line center role again. And it's been years. The entire tenure of Ken Holland, we have been looking for a defenseman on the right side and a third line center. And we're still looking for that now. Cody Ceci and a third line center. Those are two things that you need to resolve right here, right now, before the playoff push. Because if you go back to it, and let's say you run into the Vegas Golden Knights again, this is gonna be a repeat of last playoff. Now, I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I'm hoping Ken Holland or Jeff Jackson makes the move. But if you don't, and you have a tandem of Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard again, granted they've been playing really well and the last two games have been immaculate from both of them, do you really have that much faith in this Oilers team winning the cup? I want to ask that to chat tonight. Let's get a little bit of input from you guys. Bouchard averages more ice time per game than Nurse now. Travis, that's a great point. Bouch had 22 minutes tonight and Nurse was 24 though, says MGD. Here's the thing. I envision a much more liquid top four situation. So that's why I'm not feeling like Ceci has to be your top pairing, or whoever replaces Ceci has to be your top pairing. If you can have a core of four guys on the defense side, Nurse, Bouchard, Ekholm, and someone, and you rotate those minutes fluidly for the top two pairing, that's great. MGD says trade Bukestad again. Trade for Bukestad again on third center. I liked what the guy did. I feel like tall Derek Ryan or tall Kostin, whatever you want to say about Nick Bukestad, he was great on the faceoff circle. He did lots of good things, but going back to him again, I don't know if that is the play. I'd like to see someone else, someone who brings a little bit, maybe more scoring touch to things. Or if you move someone, you know, it's so hard to say. Like, Nuge has been dynamic on McDavid's line. You don't want to touch that. McLeod has found his scoring touch on Dreisaitl's line. You don't want to touch that. So you really just don't have anyone that you would be comfortable switching back into third line center role again. If everything is magical and Dylan Holloway comes back from injury and he's able to play third line center, that'd be amazing. But maybe I'm more of a nihilist. I don't think that throwing Dylan Holloway into that position is a great idea. I have full faith that Holloway might be able to find a little bit more comfort as a winger first and then ease his way like most centers do in the NHL. As we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, we're going to know which teams are on the outside looking in, who is available, and who's getting shopped. I think there's going to be a lot more to go on at this point. Mark says Barry is available. I'm sorry, Mark. I don't want Tyson Barry. He was apparently a great guy in the room. Amazing for the team's chemistry. Amazing personality. Does a lot of social causes that are great. But Tyson Barry's not what we need, right? We need someone who can take top 4D minutes and roll with it, and I don't think that's Tyson Barry. The road trip, Travis brings up a good point. It was technically a 3-game road trip to Cali. They won all 3 games. But really, it's a 6-game road trip. They went to New York area. They went through the 3 teams. In the end, this six-game road trip is 5-1. The Oilers are rolling into 2024, and it's still entertaining, right? I'm not clamoring like we were last trade deadline for moves. Like, I don't think we're in the same position as we were during the trade deadline last year. But you still hope for a little bit more, right? Like a Larson type. MGD hit the nail on the head. You need someone who's defensively minded, who really just hammers down that defensive stalwart type of play in the top four. And if they're able to, you know, if they're able to chip in a little bit offensively, if they're able to at least advance the puck, move the puck, that'd be great. If you're just going in as is right now with Cody Ceci, it's not happening. I don't think we're going to get quite as far this year. Larson, yes, he has his personal issues. You need a Larson type. I don't think Larson himself will be willing to come back. But hey, never say never. I mean, Seattle right now is below us. We just leapfrogged them. There's a couple players in that lineup. I wouldn't mind a Jordan Eberle. We've talked about it earlier on in the shows this year. I wouldn't mind a Jordan Eberle. I wouldn't mind an Adam Larson back. I wouldn't mind, honestly, Kyle Yamamoto. I kind of miss the guy, because when you look at Connor Brown and the production that he's had, yes, he's picking up a little bit, and we gave him a little bit of props today, but that has been so disappointing, going from Yamamoto and Costin to like Brown and Ernie, and they played well tonight. Like, I don't want to end the year shitting on Ernie and Brown, but let's just try and be positive going into 2024 on a win streak. No more shitting on Adam Ernie. I love you, man. You scored a goal. You have more goals than Connor Brown. Oops, I mean, Connor Brown has a couple of points tonight. Adam Ernie had some chances tonight. They weren't absolute black holes. We take it. We move on, even though it was the Anaheim Ducks. No, positive. We move on. We move into 2024 on a good note. I mean, MGD says, be careful what you say about Zach's friend, Adam Ernie. Zach's friend or Zach in disguise? If I have to miss a show because of some mysterious assassination attempts, you'll know why. Let's talk let's talk a little bit about a recap, so you say, like a 2023 recap. Obviously, oil country has been up and down in the last couple of months. But if we were to look at the entirety of the calendar year of 2023 as a whole, I thought about it. I thought about the biggest news stories, and I broke them down into five to six big moments. And I want to see if you agree with me, Oil Country. Like, let's travel back down memory lane for a little bit. Coming in at number six, I want to talk a little bit about Jeff Jackson, Connor Brown, and Chris Knobloch, because you can see very clearly that this Oilers team is now Connor's treehouse, right? McDavid's treehouse. You have so many guys that are related, affiliated with Connor McDavid. I'm not a huge fan of it. I know some people are a little bit more enthusiastic about it. They're hoping this is a reason for Connor to stick around, unless Connor McDavid is asking for it himself. And you know he would never go public about that. If he's asking for his junior coach to come in, if he's asking for his old teammate to come in, if he's asking his agent to really just hunker down and probably become the next general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, you would never hear about it from Connor McDavid himself. I just feel like this is a missed opportunity. If you have better people available, right? Whether they're in the system, whether they're outside, going for people that Connor McDavid knows and not the best person for the job is something that concerns me a little bit. I want to know what you think. Speaking of Connor McDavid, my fifth biggest story of the year is Connor McDavid's 153-point season with 64 goals. I don't think we're going to see a more dominant player than Connor McDavid for the next, 100 years. He has been so spectacular, and I don't want to harsh on any of the generational talents like Celebrini, like Bedard or whatever, but Connor McDavid has been such a dynamic player. They went in the middle of the game over some of the awards he's won. They went over the Ted Lindsay, the Art Ross, all these individual awards, the Canadian Walk of Fame. All of that pales in comparison to the fact that Connor McDavid is still entering his prime. He's not anywhere near the downscale. And you have guys that are playing longer and longer than ever before. That is astounding. And whether Connor McDavid decides to play as a lifetime Oiler or go on to another team, hopefully after he wins a cup here, I'm all the way team Connor McDavid. Like, he is the greatest of all time. McInator, he is the GOAT. It is unbelievable to see what he is doing. And as Oilers fans, we watch him every night, and we probably have a little bit of, not fatigue, but we watch him so much that we aren't able to appreciate what he's done, what he's doing for this game. Happy New Year to you, Andrew, as well. Great to see you guys in chat talking about, oh yeah, Connor McDavid. It has been absolutely wild. We'll talk a little bit about Leon Draisaitl as well. This last season for McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins has been amazing as well. 300-plus point getters on the same team. Amazing. Simply spectacular. Now, obviously, they're in a little bit of a regression this year. There's some things to be said about some injury troubles. McDavid and Draisaitl, I feel like they haven't started this season healthy. But the fact that we are still able to watch these, and Nuggie is still producing. It is amazing. I can't wait to see what they're going to do in 2024. And speaking of 2024, we're going to move on to what I consider one of the biggest stories last year. The arrival of Mattias Ekholm. 2024 trade deadline. I don't know if Ken Holland, if Jeff Jackson, whoever is going to be able to pull off as significant of a trade as the Ekholm one was. But it was so amazing. If they're able to elevate this team this trade deadline, it would be just unbelievable. If you're a longtime listener, last trade deadline, Ekholm wasn't even in the consideration. We were gushing over guys like Carlson. We were worrying about the efficacy of a guy like Gavrikov. There was so much turmoil in oil country. And the Ekholm trade, the 4% retention with that allowed them to get Nick Bjugstad at 50% retained, and the lasting effect of that trade is definitely one of the biggest stories of 2023 for me. Man, Ekholm has not only come with term, he's incredibly healthy. There was only a little bit of stint in the preseason this time when he had to sit out, but he's been producing advertised. He's been producing way above advertised. You know, he has been physical tonight. He got into a fight. He has been joining in on the rush. Maybe that has to do with, you know, the situation with Paul Coffey and the coaching staff right now, but he is creating chances. He's a defensive stalwart. He's able to provide physicality. I could not be more happy with the arrival of Ekholm, especially with the effect it has had moving out Barry on Evan Bouchard. Evan Bouchard this season, after the trade of Ekholm and then the development of him on the power play and as a bona fide, I think, top four defenseman now, there is no question that Bouchard is, if not already elite, on the line of entering elite defenseman. Bouchard's game has gone up miles and miles with the arrival of Ekholm. The opportunity of leaving Tyson Barrie down in Nashville, where he's not really getting minutes right now. We've talked about earlier in the show, Tyson Barrie is a trade deadline target right now for some teams. Some folks thought that Bouchard wouldn't be able to step into the role of Barrie, and I just... they couldn't be more wrong at this point. Another big story of 2023. And I hope you guys are taking notes. I'll recap it in the end, but I want to see you tweet it to me or write it in the chat, your order, comment it later on in the video. I want to know your ranking of 2023 Oilers moments. The next one I want to talk about is the playoff series. Now, LA, that series was so funny because I was in Japan. So personally, I didn't get to watch a lot of the games, but I heard all about the chaos of that LA Kings series. The biggest takeaway from that series has been the fact that LA was playing this stupid trap system. They were so defensive. It was incredibly boring to watch. The Oilers were able to break through it playing Oilers-style hockey. We saw a little bit of a deviation from that early on this season, but now that we're back to it, you can see Oilers-style hockey prevailed in that series, and Oilers-style hockey is prevailing now. There's something to be said about maybe a tweak here and there, most reliably, our number one topic, which we'll get to, but Oilers style hockey is to generate chances, is to play with speed and to win hockey games by beating your opponent on the score sheet. Now, in the Vegas game, the teams were so even. The first four games went back and forth. Game five and game six were tight, tight games. If someone were to tell you that the Vegas series was lopsided, you can confidently say to them that they weren't watching the Oilers intently, because those were incredibly, incredibly tight games. The Oilers had a couple of guys that were showing up and a couple of guys that didn't. Most notably, I mean, Nugent Hopkins was a little bit quiet, but you had guys like Costin chipping in. You had guys like Derek Ryan chipping in. They were Nick Bjugstad. They were doing things. It's just that they weren't quite to the level of a Marchessault, of a Carlson, of a Barbashev. And on the back end, you had a couple of guys that were probably not the most confident defensively. Vinny Desharnais. It's helped his game immensely. You look at this season's Vinny Desharnais and you can see how he grew and developed out of that Vegas series. He is playing insane right now. And Philip Roberg, I mean, he played a couple of games in that Vegas series. Obviously, he's not in a great place right now. He is playing in Bakersfield. They had a couple of chances to prove themselves against Vegas in that series, but they couldn't quite stack up to it. But now that they have the experience, Vinny Desharnais is looking like an amazing third pairing defenseman. One situation in the coaching side of things: Woodcroft simply got outcoached. He wasn't able to adapt as well as Bruce Cassidy. Now, assuming the Oilers get into a playoff spot, we have Coach Knobloch. Obviously, he's never been here before. If there's a chance to see how he reacts to these playoffs, my bet is on the fact that the Oilers leadership team seems like they are giving advice to Knobloch and that Knobloch is a lot more open to it. So my hope is that Knobloch is able to will this team by working with the players into a deep Stanley Cup run. But the most important thing in that Vegas series was the arrival of Aiden Hill. And that ties into my biggest story. Oops. My biggest story of 2023 Edmonton Oilers. And that has been the goaltending. You've heard it so, so many times. How many games do you come in here into the post game and you hear Zach and I or Avery talk about the goaltending and how it's lost them the game? Campbell and Skinner, they had their moments. If you look at Campbell during the playoffs, he didn't get any starts. I feel like he should have, because he was good in relief. MGD is worried about my mic. Sorry if you got a loud spike in that last couple of minutes. If you look at Jack Campbell during the playoffs, I would have thought, you know what? Give him a chance. And so many of us, including Zach, noted Campbell hater. When this season started, we were so willing to give him the net. Stuart Skinner had a really, really amazing run as a rookie during the regular season, but he struggled so, so hard in the postseason. And now, in the 2023-2024 season, you have this regression of Stuart Skinner during his sophomore year. He's not quite willed it. He's gotten a lot better, but he isn't that bona fide number one goalie yet. And Jack Campbell, with all the faith, all the good faith of Oilers country, is finding himself on... Wise Kyle came into chat the moment I started talking about Jack Campbell. Of course, man. How you doing? Jack Campbell is finding himself on waivers and in the Bakersfield Condor lineup. Granted, he had a good last game, but with $5 million on the book. The resolution of Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner, and now I guess Calvin Pickard in net, is the biggest story of 2023 in my mind. And it will continue to be a storyline in 2024. I don't know. That's my interpretation. If you disagree, I'd love to hear it on Twitter. I'll recap a couple of the storylines that I have mentioned. The arrival of Jeff Jackson, Connor Brown, and Chris Knobloch. The sort of pivot towards keeping Connor McDavid at all costs. The career year, that's point number one. Point number two, the career years of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and an amazing performance by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Number three, the arrival of Matthias Ekholm and the amazing production of Bouchard stemming from that trade. Number four, the playoff series with LA and with Vegas. Another just heartbreaking loss to the eventual Stanley Cup champions as the Oilers await their turn to try again. And the final news story, the fifth news story of 2023, the goaltending and the lack of a bona fide number one goalie. Those are the five stories that I would like to propose as the biggest Oilers stories of 2023. If you don't think so, shoot me a tweet on Twitter. It's at Dennis Lee YEG. On the behalf of my friends at the SDPN, on the behalf of the Game Over Edmonton crew, Zach Wheel and Avery Lewis McDougal. What is Twitter? Isn't that X now? You know what I mean, Mechanator. We wish you a very, very happy 2023, a very, very happy 2024. I'd like to personally thank you all so much for watching the show in 2023. We're constantly, constantly trying to bring you better and better content. 2024 is not only a big year for the Oilers, it's going to be a big year for this channel. So once again, if you like what we're doing, drop us a like. If you like what we're saying and want to hear more of it, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast channel on YouTube. Once again, the STPN channel is so close to 100,000 subscribers. I'd like to thank you all for being here on New Year's Eve of 2023. If you are going out afterwards to enjoy yourself like I am, please find ways to get home safely. Remember, 2024 is going to be a good year for the Oilers and a good year for you. I give you the best of my blessings. And with that, we're going to end the show tonight. Thank you all so much for being here. And for the last time in 2023, play La Bamba, baby. Good night. Yeah!